Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host, and I am really excited about today's interview. We have Jeannie Stith-Mwenny with us today. Jeannie, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Leanne.
I am so excited to have you here too. Jeannie is the color guru. I'm going to read her her intro, her bio in just a second. But she is going to, once you've aced that closet space, she's going to help you go even further to make sure you look your best with your right colors and right clothing for your shape. She's just wonderful. So here, before we get into stuff, I want to read her bio. Jeannie Stith-Mwenny is obsessed with helping real women look and feel amazing in their clothes. She is the founder and CEO of Color Guru, where she helps women create the wardrobe of their dreams by analyzing their hair, skin, and eye color in order to give them their ideal color palette for clothing. She teaches the online course Style Secrets. She's a wife and mother of two girls in Arden, Delaware. Her work has been featured on the Design Mom blog, This Organized Life podcast, and Philadelphia Style magazine. Oh, that's so exciting. And you know what? Lest you guys think I don't know what I'm talking about with Jeannie, I am the proud owner of my own, you know, little color card. So these are the colors that I wear, and it's just made such a difference. Knowing my color and the style clothing I should wear. So that's why I wanted Jeannie to come and talk to you. So Jeannie, hello.
Hi. Yes. Thank you for that lovely introduction. I am so excited to be here and talk about color and shape and style and decluttering and how to really get the most out of your closet.
So Jeannie, tell me, how did you get started doing what you're doing?
So I got started probably started about 12 years ago when I was shopping with my aunt, and she basically said to me fairly bluntly, "I think you're choosing all the wrong colors." And I was like, "I didn't even know there were right colors. I don't know what you're talking about, you know?" And she said, "You need to get your colors done." And she said, "You know, I got my colors done. It was totally life-changing for me." And so we searched and searched, and there was nobody who we could find who was providing this service of analyzing your colors and giving you a color palette that's ideal. Finally, about 3 months later, I found someone. Now, I'm in the Philadelphia area, and we found a retired image consultant who was still once in a while doing it out of her house. And so I went there. I got my first ever color palette. This was my first introduction to this concept of there are colors that look better on me than other colors. And it was a total game changer for me almost instantly, because not only did I start wearing colors that I looked really good in, but I also, for me, like, I'm big into efficiency and having things be efficient and easy. You know, I've always wanted to look good, but I've never wanted to be one of those people who like reads all the fashion blogs or looks at fashion magazines, because I'm just not, you know, into sort of the traditional fashion world, but I wanted to look good and have it be easy. And this became my primary tool for doing that. And then what happened next was kind of amazing. My friends were commenting on how much better I looked, and I took six friends to that retired image consultant. I wasn't even trying to talk them into it. They just wanted to go. They're like, "I want that." And I was like, how is it that we can only find one person offering this service and she's retired? She's about to check out. There's no one else in the Philadelphia region, a major city in the US, who's offering this. And so that stuck with me over the years. And I thought, man, if I ever put together a business, it's going to be this, because it's been so helpful for me. And I see how it's helped my friends. And it's just not out there the way it needs to be out there. And so I started Color Guru now about 3.5 years ago, and created my own color palettes, because what I found was, you know, the color palette I got was a great start, but I also felt that it was a bit dated. Mm-hmm. A lot of those colors on my palette weren't actually things that were easy to find in the stores. And I really wanted to do my own take of it. So I kind of went into researcher mode, created the palettes, and now we are 3.5 years in and serving people and helping them find their ideal colors.
You know what? I love that. And I love that you're doing that, because I remember, you know, back years ago when they were doing, it was like the Color Me Beautiful or something like that. Yeah. And you were the mm-hmm. winter, spring, summer. I think I was something with winter undertones. I can't remember, like years ago. That's all I remember. And that might not even be correct, but yeah, that's true. And it kind of went away for a while, but the fact that there are certain colors that look good on people and certain colors that don't work on people didn't go away. So I'm so glad that you were doing this.
Thank you. And what I found is actually, you know, most of the people that I work with, most of my clients, they know a few of their best colors because they are things that over the years have sort of worked on them, or like every time they wear that color, they get tons of compliments. They get the feedback that's really crystal clear. But then I find there's usually a whole host of colors they're ignoring that they don't know that they would look great in, that they would look great in. And so a lot of what I do is really clarifying for people, you know, these are your best colors so that you can go in and definitively know, like, I can buy that shirt with confidence knowing that it's going to look great on me. It's going to go with the rest of my closet. And, you know, that it is one of my colors. So yeah.
Well, and like for me, I can certainly say that I knew that black was a good color on me, and it is. Jewel tones. I knew that most jewel tones were good on me, but I was really surprised that there are some yellows in here that would look good on me. I'm going to try one of those one day. That's going to be one of my little stretchy clothes buys one of these days. So yeah, so I do have some new colors that I can wear in here.
Yeah. There are usually some surprises.
Yes, indeed. So Jeannie, the name of this series is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. And I'm wondering, like, what is Ace Your Space? Like, what is the name of this series? What does that mean to you?
I love the name of this series because I think I see, like, two things pop out at me right away. Number one is, you know, there are concepts we can all learn to help us that are sort of more general concepts that can help us create a space that we love living in. And then there is the individual part of it, which I kind of equate in style to like your personal style part of it that really is different for everyone. So for me, Ace Your Space is sort of about, you know, the things that you value are valued in your space. And so, you know, for me, one of the ways I see that reflected in my home, for example, is I love nature. I grew up in a house in the woods. Now I still have woods behind my house. And I find myself always trying to bring nature in. And so I have a lot of natural woods in my house because that's just what I love looking at. And I have like 50 houseplants. I am not going to lie. And I love taking care of them. Sometimes I call my office the jungle because I can see like 9 plants from right here. But you know, that really works for me, but that for somebody else would be their nightmare. Like 50 plants to take care of, you know, would feel like something they wouldn't love. And so I think it's so great to learn like some overall concepts and then take them and say like, how does this work in my, you know, in my world and what I want to create in my home? So I think it's both like very something we can share with the concepts and then something that's also very individual.
I love that. That's a great answer. That's very good. Now, you know, my view of clutter is that it's not just like the piles in the corner. Clutter is really anything that gets in the way of people, and what they want to do in their life, their goals, their dreams. It's those things that stop them. You know, it can be anything can run the gamut from, you know, of course, the physical, financial, whatever. But the reason that I was so excited to have you on is like people's closets are such a source of clutter. But it's not just having like too much. It can certainly be having like the wrong things and things that don't suit them. And you help people get over that hump. And I'm wondering, what have you found like when you're for clients, people you've worked with that have got like really aced their closet, gotten it cleaned up. They're wearing the right clothes. They're happy in what they're wearing. What kind of changes have you seen come about because of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the biggest sort of misconception is that finding, like, mastering your closet is about getting out the wrong stuff. It is about getting out the wrong stuff. But the fact is, if you don't change, if you don't have a strategy for what you're bringing into your closet to begin with, you're just going to end up with that wrong stuff all over again. So what I find is that, you know, women will spend a lot of time like decluttering their closet, and their closet will feel great for 2 or 3 months. And suddenly they're like, wait, it's back to where it was. Mm-hmm. Now I have all this new stuff that I don't wear, because they're kind of putting a Band-Aid on the original problem, which is they don't have a strategy. And I really use the word strategy emphatically. They don't have a strategy for what they're actually bringing in. They don't have, I almost call it like tests, or like your clothing should have to pass multiple tests to make it into your closet, so that it is something that you will wear for a long time to come and you'll be happy with for a long time to come. And that's where nobody teaches us that, you know? And so that's where the concept of first color comes in, because color, once you have a color palette, like you showed your color palette with those colors, if you commit to bringing those colors into your closet, which are your best colors anyway, right, then you basically have committed to some sort of plan for your closet, right? So now you have intentional boundaries when you go shopping. And those boundaries could be, I'm not going to buy anything that isn't on my color card. That's what my personal boundaries are. I'm not going to buy anything that isn't on my color card. And as soon as you set boundaries, you start the process of eliminating that shopping overwhelm that a lot of us feel, because there are just so many options. And what I find with my clients is, and the place where I was too before I started buying my colors, was there are so many options, I don't know which ones are right for me, and I'm basically guessing all the time. And then a couple weeks after, I might have liked something in the dressing room, and a couple weeks later, I don't necessarily like it anymore. And then I feel guilt because I spent time and money buying that garment, and now I don't want to get rid of it because I spent time and money on it. So it sits there and continues to make me feel guilty, and I continue not to wear it. And it continues to sort of blind me to the things in my closet that I actually do like and could potentially be wearing. So what I'm trying to say in a nutshell is, you know, there's actually, the clients I work with have typically a lot of really good stuff in their closet, but it's overshadowed by this stuff that doesn't work for them. And so they can't quite clearly see the good stuff in there. And, you know, the solution really is developing a strategy. And I believe the first step to that should always be the color palette.
Got it. So when they do develop this strategy, when they do feel like they've got it down, what kind of things open up for them?
So what opens up for them is they can then see what, you know, basically when they develop a strategy, they get rid of the stuff that really isn't working for them. They develop a strategy for what does work for them, which I always think starts with learning your colors, learning your the shapes that continually work on your body type, and then learning how to identify those shapes in the store or online, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, this is all about creating intentional boundaries. So first boundary is color, second boundary is shape. And so now I look at dresses, and I basically have two styles of dresses that I buy, and I buy them over and over again in different colors and in different fabrics. So it doesn't feel like I'm wearing the same dress all the time, but I know what works on my body type. And shopping becomes very simple once you know your colors, once you know your shapes. And then the third piece is just putting a little time into what's your personal style? How do you want to show up in the world? What's your aesthetic? And that's the piece that's really different for everybody. And that's the piece that can be guided, but not taught, right? You have to, that's kind of an internal journey, right? I can give you colors that look great in you. I can show you some shapes that typically work on your body type, but then I can guide you down the path of discovering how you want to show up in the world, but that's the work that no one can do for you, because it's kind of a journey of self-discovery, and it has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with what you find beautiful and how you want to present yourself that represents your personality and your values, you know, as well. So it's a really fun process. Most women find it really fun. And then the rewards are so great, because shopping becomes easy and fun, you know, from being overwhelming and exhausting and disappointing and guilt-inducing when you look in your closet. You know, it's really nice to look into a closet that's like, these are all my colors, these shapes all fit me beautifully, and I'm dressing myself in a way that feels really good to me. This is how I want to show up. This is, I'm there. Then dressing feels like a delight every morning. And that's what I really want to get women to, that point.
Love that. I love that. So let me ask you, thinking about your own journey, how has clutter impacted you?
Well, I grew up with a mom who loved to get rid of things and a dad who wanted to hold on to everything. And so there was a push-pull in my house, you know, of wanting to get rid of stuff, but my dad really wanted to hold on to everything. And I think what I saw, and I've kind of been examining over the last years, like, why am I the type of person who wants to get rid of things? Is that even a type of person, or is it something I've developed? I think it's something I've developed intentionally, because I see that holding on tightly to things is not the way I want to live my life in a sort of a bigger picture, right? Because to me, that suggests that there's not enough, right? And I would rather live in a mindset of there is plenty. And if I get rid of that thing and I need it again or want it again, I can have it again. Yes, but right now, it doesn't feel good to me. And so I'm going to let it go. And that concept of, you know, there's plenty for everyone. There is enough. I have abundance ties directly into how I feel about actually physically letting things go.
I love that. And that is such a great way to be. It is true. It's like, you know, the scarcity mindset versus the abundance mindset. Exactly. And so I love that. I love it. You have such a perfect relationship to your stuff. That's great. Beautiful.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think they're so closely related. And once you see that, it becomes much easier to get rid of things. And I think also, like, one of the questions I ask myself when I'm looking at, like, do I want to keep this thing, is I literally think about the physical space it takes up in my life and then in terms of how much space do I actually have, and is that thing worth it, you know? Or, like, one of the things I do is I look at something and I say, you know, if this costs, you know, $50, $75, would I buy it right now? You know? Right. And if it's something, if it's so minimal, if it's like, you know, a $5 or $10 thing that I'm considering getting rid of, it's like, I kind of always let it go, because that again, that cost, you know, for me feels very minimal and feels like, again, like if I want that again, I could have that so easily, but I'd rather have the space, you know, I'd rather have the clear space than that $10 thing. So anyway, that way of analyzing it sort of works for me.
No, that is actually a good way of analyzing it. I've heard of people who teach that if it's something like, if you can replace it for, like, maybe, I don't know, people can pick different numbers. I've heard $20, you know, $10, $25. Yeah. If you can do it for that or less, then let it go, because it's very easy to replace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Now let me ask you, you know, a lot of people who, you know, who are into decluttering and stuff like that, they are Marie Kondo devotees. They love the KonMari method of, you know, seeing what sparks joy and keeping that and getting rid of us the stuff. How does that actually work when you're decluttering your wardrobe?
Okay, so I also love the KonMari method. I've used it in a lot of my house. Mm-hmm. And where I think it works in the wardrobe is actually in terms of storing things. Like I love her, the way she folds and stores things so that they don't get messed up when you take something out. Mm-hmm. But here's what I think bigger picture, what I found and what a lot of my clients have found is that the KonMari method works in the house very well when things don't need to work together. And the problem that it creates in the wardrobe is not, it's not that you shouldn't be asking what sparks joy in the wardrobe. I think the thing is, it's one of several questions you should be asking, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that it doesn't matter what sparks joy. It's like one of several questions, but it's not enough on its own. Because when you choose just what sparks joy, what you can end up with is a bunch of clothing that you love each piece individually, but they don't necessarily work together. Mm-hmm. And an effective wardrobe needs to work together. Now, an effective, you know, kitchen drawer, your spatula doesn't really have to go with your whisk. I don't really care if my spatula personally matches my whisk, right? But right. I do care if my pants options match my top options, right? So that's where I see that it's not the full picture in the closet. So there are other questions I think that you need to be asking. One is, does it spark joy? But another is, does this go with multiple other pieces that I have, or is it kind of a standalone thing that doesn't work? And I just think you can end up with a lot of standalone things that don't work together. And to have an effective closet, it really needs to work together as well as sparking joy. So I just think it's a bit more complex when you're working in the closet.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, you've already kind of touched on this in the interview and what we talked about earlier, but you know, when women decide, all right, I've had enough of this closet, there's a million things in there, there's nothing to wear, and they decide it's time to take on their closet, what would you say are the main pitfalls that they run into when they get started doing this?
I think when women get started, kind of revamping their closet, they often end up looking to trends or to other people's ideas of what they should have in their closet. And I think that that is the biggest pitfall. I have a saying that is trends are not my friends because I really strongly believe that trends are basically to make the fashion world more money because that's why they change, right? Yeah. The fashion world doesn't really want you to be thrilled with what's in your closet because then you would stop shopping. Yeah. And so you would stop shopping and they would stop making money. And so they've created this thing, which is trends, which, you know, basically keeps us on a hamster wheel of buying all the time. And of course, there's nothing wrong with replacing things or purchasing things, but if it's to kind of fit somebody else's idea of what I need to look like or what I need to have, I think that's where women find that it's not satisfying for them because it doesn't in the end feel like them. Right. Feels like an outfit that was taken off a mannequin and put on their body. And that doesn't really work for them. And so I think, you know, the idea of trends or the idea even of like, these are the wardrobe essentials, right? I've seen so many articles that's like every woman needs to have a black blazer in her closet. Now, a black blazer, I don't wear black and I don't wear blazers. So like a black blazer doesn't work for me, period. And I know that. And I think it's really important to figure out what are your wardrobe essentials, you know, based on your colors, based on your body shape, and based on your personal style and what really works for your lifestyle. You know, I work at home. I'm a mom. I work in my home office. While I do dress up, I don't wear blazers. I don't like the way they look on my body type, and I don't wear black. And so, you know, it's just kind of seems a bit silly to me that someone else could be defining what actually works for you. And I think it doesn't take that much time, but it does take a little time up front to kind of find those things for yourself. And with some good guides in terms of color, shape, personal style, I do think that's like the map. That's the journey, as I see it, is color, shape, personal style. You can master dressing mm-hmm. if you just put a little time into figuring out those three things for yourself.
Perfect. I love that. Oh yeah, I can remember some trends that I bought into that were just
I feel like sometimes trends are just made to make us look bad, so we can't wait to get them out of our closet and get the next trend in, because it's just like, I don't know.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me ask you this. What tips would you give the audience for freeing their time and reclaiming their energy?
I love this question. One of the exercises that I do with my clients who work with me directly is what do I want more of and what do I want less of mm-hmm. in my life? It's pretty general, but it says a lot. It clarifies your values, which I think is, it always starts with values, you know? And that, those two questions, what do I want more of in my life and what do I want less of? And that could be, you know, on an emotional level, on an energetic level, on a physical level, like what physical things do I want more of and less of, you know, what feelings do I want more of and less of in my life? There's so many ways you can take it, and all of them sort of tell you something about yourself. And I guess I feel like a life that is really driven by what are my values, what really matters to me, that is to me a satisfying life, you know, because you're really living by your own idea of what works for you. And so putting a little time into that and then putting it into action in small ways, you know. So if like one of your values is beauty, you know, one of my values is beauty. I want to live in a space that feels really beautiful. That matters to me a lot. You know, I have a friend who's a chemist, doesn't matter to her at all. She has other values. You know what I mean? But for me, it means like getting fresh flowers once in a while and having them in my space, you know, and just simple ways to kind of, I love the idea of jotting down that, what I want more of, and then simple ways you can incorporate that. Things that don't necessarily take a lot of money or a lot of time, but simple ways that you can give yourself those things and live that sort of bigger life that you dream of right now.
Well, you know what? That makes so much sense, Jeannie, because if you think about it, if you really are living a life where you've got more of what you want and less of what you don't want, your time is freed up because you're not spending time on these things you don't want to spend time on, and you have more energy because these things that you do want in your life, if you've got them there, are energizing you. So that's a perfect answer. I love that. I think I'm gonna print that up and ask myself that every day. I love it.
It's really great. Yeah, it's a great exercise.
Okay, I got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
So when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Okay. I feel a little bit embarrassed about this, but I'm going to share it. So I had never, my 7-year-old daughter just learned how to dive into the water, like head first. Mm-hmm. I had never done it. I was always too scared. But I thought, I like was watching her and she was just like over and over again, like belly flopping, belly flopping, belly flopping until she finally learned to like go in head first. And I was like, okay. So there's this one day where almost no one was at the pool. So I thought, I'm not going to be that embarrassed if I belly flop a couple times. And I like never really told anybody, like I didn't know how to dive, but I deep down felt kind of embarrassed that I had like always been too scared. And so I did it the other day. It took me 3 belly flops, but then I dove into the water head first, just off the wall, not off the diving board or anything major, but it was a first. I feel super proud about it. I feel like I want to cry a little bit. Like I dove into the water head first and it was a little scary, but I did it.
And I love that you did it. That's so cool.
Yeah, I was like, if my 7-year-old can do it, like it's one of those moments where you like your kids inspire you. Yes. I was like, if my 7-year-old can do it, you know, I'm 44 now. And I'm like,
I can do it.
Maybe I can dive into the water before I dive. Maybe I can dive before I die.
Perfect. Yeah. I love that. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Now another question for you. What's a movie that you can practically quote from start to finish?
Okay, so it might be that only a few of the the people here know this movie or watching know this movie, but the ones who have seen it will totally get it. So there's a movie called Waiting for Guffman. Have you ever seen this movie?
No.
Waiting for Guffman. I went to school for theater. I went to college for theater. And Waiting for Guffman is this, it's a spoof. It's the same people who did, oh, what was that movie? It was about the dog show. It was more popular.
Oh, yes. What's the...
Best in Show. Yeah. Did you see that? So like more people saw that one, but it's the same sort of cast. Like a lot of the actors are the same, but Waiting for Guffman was an earlier movie that they did about sort of the, it was a spoof on like community theater life. And I grew up doing community theater. And so this movie is just so funny to me because it so represents like what really happens in these community theaters and like how like, you know, it's this like dinky little theater, but they feel like stars, you know? And I feel like it just, I love this movie. It's absolutely hysterical. And yeah, I've probably watched it 30 times. It's just so funny.
Okay, now gotta check it out. Cause I do remember Best in Show and the woman that what is her name? Parker
Posey.
Yeah, she's in a lot of those movies.
Also in Waiting for Guffman, yeah. She's okay. Quite a few of that cast is also in Waiting for Guffman and they're just so darn funny and it's just hysterical.
Okay, all right. That's a recommendation. I'll have to check it out. So Jeannie, I think you have a gift for the audience today.
Yeah, so I have what I call a quick color tips guide. And so because I'm very into color, it's something that you can use even if you don't know your ideal color palette. Some basic tips. One of them is basically how to make your eye color pop by wearing the right color top. And also in that guide is three universal colors that look really amazing on everybody. And I will give you a spoiler alert. One of them is not black. So you look great in black, Leanne, but not everybody does. Black has sort of been sold to us as this universal color. It looks great on everyone, but it's not true. So if you want to see three colors, though, that truly do look great on everyone so that you have a couple go-tos that you can grab in the store, that guide will help you in that area, too.
Okay, that's cool. That's going to be so exciting. And there's going to be a link to that somewhere around this video when you're watching it so you can easily get to it. And also a link to find Jeannie, because I know like once you've heard all this, you're going to like want to know more of your color and know more about it. So now Jeannie, before we finish up, I want to ask you one final thing. If you could leave people with one action that they could take to help them declutter their life, what would it be?
Okay. This is great. So here's a thing that I have been using for years that is a simple thing that also I teach my clients and a lot of them have given me really good feedback on. So I know it works for not just me. And that is, if you want to declutter your wardrobe, limit the number of hangers you have in your closet. So, right? Some people who really get into this like minimalist closet thing, they have like, I only have, you know, so many pieces of clothing, but I find that limiting the hangers actually works really well. So I personally have 50 hangers in my closet and I have promised myself I will never add any. And I will never take away any. So if one breaks or something, I'll replace it, but 50 hangers, period. And make it like, let's say right now you have, you know, people have all different size closets, but let's say you have 100 hangers in your closet. Take away five of them to start with, right? And say, okay, like I'm going to have 95 and get rid of five things and then limit yourself to those 95. Don't ever add any hangers, you know, and then you can kind of see what works for you over time if you want to take away five more. But the idea is, committing to a certain amount makes that is a little less than you have now, automatically in a very natural way, sort of makes your clothes earn a place in your closet.
Got it.
And that to me really is a system that works, because if I have 50 things I'm really happy with and I buy something new that needs a hanger, I need to think like, ooh, am I willing to trade anything I currently have for this? You know, or is this not as good and it's just kind of an impulse buy, or I just want something new. And then just a little side note, what I would say is I really encourage people to, when they need a shopping fix, have a couple go-to things that aren't clothes. Because when we just need a shopping fix and we go for clothes, that's when we end up with those things in our closet that just clutter the closet and make it, you know, make it hard to see the good stuff. So have a couple go-to things. I know this is kind of two tips in one, but I've got to sneak this in because it's such a good one. Because clothes are kind of a high investment. You know, even if you're buying like something that's pretty inexpensive, a $20 top or something like that, that's still high investment. What I do is I have a couple go-to things that I buy when I need a shopping fix. One of them is like a nice bar of dark chocolate. You know, and or like a nice new like soap, like something that feels like a treat, but that is inexpensive, like under 10 bucks, that gets rid of that shopping fix that doesn't, that I know that I'll use. You know, like a bar of chocolate is not going to waste. I'm lucky if it lasts till tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's going to get eaten. A bar of soap, a nice scented bar of soap is going to get used. You know, I try to find a couple things I know I'll use. That will not go to waste. That piece of impulse buy clothing will likely go to waste. Mm-hmm. You know, it will likely be wasted money, guilt inducing, you know, and so having a couple go-to things is another tip.
Well, and one thing that I noticed, those go-to things, they're consumable things too. So it's not going to add to like a clutter burden in your house either. So I love that.
Totally. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Jeannie, I have so enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you so much for being my guest on the series. It was so great.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's just my pleasure. I enjoyed it so much.
You know, and I know that the audience is going to enjoy this interview just as much as I did. An audience, yeah, make sure you get her color guide. It's going to tell you some amazing things. And make sure you look in your email for tomorrow's Ace Your Space online series email. We've got another couple of great speakers for you then. All right. I will see you tomorrow. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.